Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going back to our series that we started last week, On Track. So in Proverbs chapter 16 in verse 9, the Bible says that a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes them. And so we've been looking at two directions that's addressed here in this particular scripture. That's my direction and God's direction. And so there again, if you was here last week, we saw that in the context of my direction, that making plans, setting goals, all those things are not only a good thing, but actually it's a God thing. There's something about writing down those goals and those plans that helps you to focus to get there. So that's a good thing. But in our plan making, in our goal setting, one thing that we have to be careful of is to watch out for our motives we talked about last week and our desires, because sometimes our desires can be off track. Well, the Bible says this in Proverbs 16, just a few scriptures down, that in 25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death, or some say destruction. And the reason is because when sin came into the world through Adam and Eve, it kind of skewed our sense of direction. To the point to where that guy or that girl may look right, or that plan or that goal may look right. You know, a job or a community. There's so many things that may look right, and they're not necessarily a bad thing. It's just not the right thing for us. Because if we go down that path, or if we kind of join ourselves with that person, then we find ourselves getting in a mess. You know somebody in your life that every time you're around them, you get in trouble? Hey, some of you looking at me like I'm that guy. I'm not going to deny that at all. Not going to deny that even a little bit. But it's not necessarily that they're bad. It's just that for us and for what God's called us to do, we can get in a mess. I got a question for you. What sense does it make to make great time but to end up in the wrong place? It's not a good thing. You know, people climbing the ladder and they're working hard at it, only get to the top to find out they got it against the wrong building. And so it doesn't make any sense, but especially when you're talking about eternity, the cost is way too great to miss heaven. But not only does it not only make sense to end up in the wrong place, but even if we're on our way to heaven, it doesn't make sense to continually miss opportunity after opportunity to be a blessing. To miss our chances to minister to someone, to help somebody, to maybe grow in Christ, to be that witness that God's called us to be. And the reason is simply because we always seem to be at the airport when our ship is coming in. So to stay on track, we've been looking at the second portion of Proverbs 16, where he says that we should default to God's direction. There again, the reason is clear, simply because God's not tainted by sin in any way, shape, or form, meaning that his view of life is not skewed in any way by sin. He's not affected by sin in any way. And so his sense of direction is crystal clear, and it's perfect every time. Also, he knows the outcome to every possible scenario of every turn that you could ever possibly make in your life. He knows exactly what will happen if you go left instead of right, if you go straight instead of stop. He knows what will happen. The Bible says that God's plans for us are for the good, so we can depend upon his direction to always bring us back to a path of good and to a good destination. Amen. But here's the deal. He's always going to bring us there. He's always going to lead us to a good end, but only if we listen and if we follow. And so today I want to focus on communication. In the context of our study and following God's direction, while this may not necessarily blow your mind and be some kind of a life-changing revelation, it's still true that in order to follow directions, they have to be communicated. If we're going to follow directions, then in some way, shape, or form, they have to be communicated. My family, we have driven thousands and thousands and thousands of miles for ministry and for work and vacation and all those things, you know. And so, of course, back then there wasn't GPS. There wasn't any of those kinds of things. And we had what they called a map. And they printed those maps on paper. And I remember when we really stepped up and we bought a Rand McNally Road Atlas. Baby, I'm going to tell you what, we was high rolling then. Because not only was it a map of the United States, but it actually had parts of Canada and Mexico in it as well. Man, we was styling. And so when we was planning our trip, whatever we had to do, whether it was ministry and so on, that type of deal, we'd have our routes all marked out. And so here's how it would go. I would be driving and Jill would be giving me directions. What are you laughing about? I hadn't even got to the punchline yet. Come on now. And so here's the deal. I'm not joking. 99% of the time, that system worked fantastic. I mean, it was spot on. But there were times when the directions were not communicated. There was no exchange of information. You know what I'm talking about? And so I can tell you with 100% accuracy that when that would happen, not just every so often, but I'm talking about every time that happened, we always missed our turn and ended up going the wrong direction. Sometimes we laugh about that now, but in the moment, there was nothing funny about it at all. What's interesting is that not just in our experiences in travel, but also in our experience in life and in ministry, I've found that most problems occur with the majority of people, whether it's in their relationships or in their jobs or in just the day-to-day journey of life. Most problems occur from a lack of communication. Unfortunately, it happens all the time. But what about our relationship with God? What about following His direction? There again, if we're going to default to His direction, then what we have to understand is that there needs to be an exchange of information from God to us. And I can assure you today that in your relationship with God, that He really does speak to you. And He really does speak to me. Now, most don't have a problem believing that God speaks. But where the issue usually arises, there again, in my experience, they don't really believe that God speaks to them. Oh, sure, God speaks, just not to me. You know, I don't ever hear God's voice. I don't ever hear God speaking to me. Let's look at that premise just for a minute, that God just doesn't speak to me. Let's say that one day your father comes in and he says that the whole family is going to move to Panama City, Panama, because he's got a new job. And so as you prepare for the journey, he gives tasks to each one. You know, your task, you got to pack your stuff. You got to make sure that your brothers and sisters, their stuff is packed too. And then while on the trip, it's your job to drive. And so he says, okay, 3 weeks from today, which would happen to be a Sunday, we're going to go to church. We're going to make sure everything's packed. And then after church, we're heading out. Now, Dad's job is to make sure the family gets there safe. Because I checked, it's 3,800 miles from here to there. And there's four roundabouts. Where's Madison? There she is. There's four roundabouts that you can take. And so not only is there four roundabouts, but listen to this. Between here and there, there's some danger. There's lots of adventure, lots of turns. There's all kinds of options. I mean, there's so many options that you can take between here and Panama City. But there's also countries between here and there that are in great unrest. And so because of that, lodging is limited. Gas is limited. Food is limited. So it's Dad's job to get us there safe. So everything's all set. We're in the car. We're ready to go. And you say, okay, Dad, which way are we going? And he looks at you. And he says, I'm not telling. I mean, for a minute, the car's just kind of quiet because everybody just can't believe what just happened. All of a sudden, you kind of get yourself back together and you say, but Dad, how are we going to get there? Which direction are we supposed to go? And you look over and he just turns and looks out the window and starts humming. I mean, that'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? This is there again. Right now, I'm just appealing to our common sense, if you will. But tell me something. What kind of dad would do that? I mean, any dad in their right mind wouldn't do that. So I got a question for you. How much more? Because there again, the stakes are a lot higher. There's a lot more turns in this life than from here to Panama City. There's a lot more options for us to take, and there's a lot of danger on this path that we can take. And so what kind of heavenly father will withhold information from us to successfully navigate life and make heaven our home? The answer is that God doesn't do that. Just like any dad in his right mind wouldn't do that. Our heavenly father doesn't work that way either. As a matter of fact, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 84 and 11, check this out. The Lord, he's our protector and he's our glorious king, blessing us with kindness and with honor. And then check this out. He does not refuse any good thing to those who do right. So there's no good thing that God will withhold from us. There again, in order for us to accomplish his will. So how many would say, well, without question, having the directions that we need to successfully navigate life and to make heaven our home, how many would consider that to fall under the category of good things? You may say, yeah, but there's been times in my life where it just doesn't seem like God is speaking to me. I'm just not sure which direction to go. I can assure you that God will not withhold the direction that you need to accomplish his will. Psalm 48 says this in 14, that God will be our guide even until our death. And so from the time we are born all the way through our death and then even after that, God will not withhold what we need to accomplish his will. Psalm 32 and 8, here's what the Bible says. I, the Lord, will instruct you and I will teach you. This is your promise in the way that you should go. And I will give you counsel and I will watch over you. God does speak and he will speak to you. He'll not withhold the direction that you need to stay on track. So, yes, there is communication, but how does God speak? I don't think I've ever heard God speak. Sometimes we kind of think of communication as a verbal. And when I say verbal, I'm talking about like I'm talking to you right now. And so because I've never heard God in that way, doesn't necessarily mean that God is not speaking. And so I want to take a little bit of time this morning to go over a few of the ways that God speaks to us, how that exchange of information happens. You know, how he gives us direction, how he gives us encouragement and even correction and insight and so on. The first way is the Bible. There again, this isn't rocket science, but yet this is foundational to our success in life. God speaks to us through his word. And so the Bible, now check this out. The Bible, it's a collection of 66 books that's penned by some 40 different authors over a 1600 year period. And yet it reads as if it is one book. It does not contradict itself ethically, doctrinally, historically, or in any other way. Do you know the Bible is historically accurate? Because they have found through other writings in that dated in those areas, it has been confirmed that the Bible is talking about things that happened. So it's historically accurate. It's prophetically accurate. Do you know that there were over 300 precise prophecies that were made concerning Christ in the Old Testament? And come time when the New Testament come along and Jesus was born, do you realize that he fulfilled every one of those prophecies accurately? Amen. Let alone all of the other prophecies that are in Scripture that have been fulfilled and are to be fulfilled. Do you know that the Bible is scientifically accurate as well? They're making scientific discoveries now all the time, proving of the things that the Bible has already said thousands of years ago. You know, they're starting to catch up with some of the truths of God's word. And we can include in that the witness of multiplied millions of Christians, including us, who have firsthand experience of the power of the word of God in our lives. So when the Bible talks about being alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, you know what? That is true. when God himself promises that he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us, it's true. When Jesus Christ said that I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life, it is true because the Bible is true and it's been accurate time and time and time again in spite of what the critics may say. The Bible is still true. And so we can stand upon it. Amen. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Here's the reason why. It's so that the man of God, verse 17, the woman of God, the child of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What does that mean? That means that God himself has given us his direction in a book, neatly packaged. You can have an app on your phone so you can go anywhere and you literally at your fingertips can receive direction from God himself through the word of God. God speaks to us, amen, through his word, and that word will never lead us astray. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Now, real quick, before we get into the other ones, let me just lay this foundation that because the Bible truly is the word of God, we have to remember that God will never contradict his word. So that's the plumb line, if you will, is God's word. In our society, there's a lot of contradiction. People contradicting their own words, telling you one thing and doing another. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Making unfulfilled promises. Have you ever experienced someone trying to deceive you with their words just to throw you off track? God will never do that. He'll never contradict his word. And so he'll never, ever give you an assignment or give you a truth about something or give you a direction about something that is contrary to his word. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14 said, God is not the author of confusion and disorder, but of peace. So he will not contradict himself. So as we're listening for the voice of God and asking for his direction, we have assurance that he'll never lead us or speak to us in a way that contradicts his word. So we can test everything that comes down the pike against God's word. And if it contradicts, then throw it out. Paul even said, if an angel shows up and starts talking to you and it contradicts what's in the word, don't listen. Wow. Wow. Yeah. So God speaks to us through his word. God also speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was about to go back to heaven. And he said something really interesting to his disciples, which at that time didn't make it, no sense whatsoever to them. He said, it's important for you that I go away. What? You know, imagine the context. Everything that's been happening in their lives, watching thousands come to Christ, healed, saved, delivered. I mean, thousands being fed by one lunch. I mean, this is some, I'm talking about exciting stuff. And they're believing that he's going to set up his reign and they're going to rule with him right now. So it doesn't make sense to them at all that he would go away, let alone that it's going to be good for them that he goes away. But here's why he said, if I go away, I'll send a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And here's what he'll do. He'll teach you all things and will remind you of those things that I have said to you. Tell me something. Have you ever in your journey in life, just in the day to day, ever been reminded of a scripture? Have you ever been nudged maybe just a little bit to take a left instead of a right, to say this instead of that? Have you ever at any time in any way, shape, or form read a scripture, maybe in your devotions, and you've read it maybe even 100 times, and then all of a sudden this one time you read it, it just jumps off the page, and you receive a little bit deeper revelation into what that scripture means into your life and into your situation. Maybe with your child, you're not sure what in the world you're going to do, how you're going to deal with this particular situation. And then all of a sudden, it's like out of nowhere, you just begin to get revelation deep down in your nowhere. How many know where your nowhere is? Not the guy that built the ark, but down in your nowhere. Yeah. If you've said yes to any of those things, then you've heard the voice of God because that's the Holy Spirit leading you to good things. You've experienced communication with God. Also, the Holy Spirit communicates us through the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, Ephesians 4, as well as so many other places, talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how God uses them to communicate to us. God exchanges information in so many different ways. He speaks to us, also through dreams and visions. We see a lot of examples in Scripture of God speaking to people in dreams and in visions. There's even a place in the Old Testament, Joel 2 and 28, where it's prophesied that there's coming a day when the Lord will pour out His Spirit. And the Bible says that your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Now, dream happens when you're asleep. There again, this is not rocket science. I'm not claiming to be brilliant in any way, shape, or form, but let's just kind of get it all out there. A dream happens when you're asleep. A vision happens when you're awake. I remember one time Dad was talking about there were some things that he needed to hear from God. And so the Lord had given him a dream. And in the middle of the dream, he was awoken and he sat up in bed. And he said the dream continued, but now it was like he was watching a small movie screen in front of him. And he's wide awake. That's pretty cool. And so that particular dream happened to turn into a vision. But here's the deal. What we have to remember is that both, whether a dream or a vision, they're going to have a prophetic or a divine meaning. There's going to be something that God is wanting to communicate. Amen. Now, of course, all dreams and visions aren't from God. How many know what I'm talking about? And so I want to give you just a few to kind of help you in the right direction to be able to discern whether this dream or this thing that you're seeing is from God. There again, first and foremost, is it biblical? God's never going to give you anything, I'm going to say it again, that's contrary to His Word, okay? So that's your baseline, if you will. Secondly, just pray about it. Ask the Lord. Ask Him to give you wisdom. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And what did He say? That He will lead you into what? Truth. So He'll give you instruction as to whether this is something from Him or this is something that you just walk away from. Number three is it confirming? I've had some dreams that have confirmed what the Lord was already speaking to me about. How many know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had somebody come up and they just begin to talk and they begin to tell you some things and you just in your heart are saying, yeah, man, the Lord's just been dealing with me about that situation. You know what is that? That's just confirmation. And so that will happen also with dreams. Is it staying? In other words, most dreams fade after just a little bit of time. But there will be times, not every time, but there will be times where a dream will linger, if you will. It'll stick with you. You just can't seem to shake it until you address it, whether through prayer. You know, lining it up. Is it matching the Word of God? So there's just a few things that will help us to decipher how God is speaking to us. So He speaks to us through the Word, the Holy Spirit, dreams and visions. How about people? Did you know that God uses people to speak to people? Puts a face to it. That's cool. I think that's awesome. God trusts us so much so that He uses us to minister to people just like us. How does that happen? There again, through the gifts of the Spirit, words of wisdom, knowledge, tongues, prophecy, and so on. Through the teaching and preaching of God's Word. But do you also know that there's times when He'll speak to us through someone else's example? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11, the Bible says these things happened as an example for others, and they were written down as a warning for us. Many times God will speak to us on how to live and how not to live by helping us to see the outcome of someone else's choices. It's no wonder the Holy Spirit admonishes us through Peter. In 1 Peter 2 and 11, when he says this, "Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against our souls, but be careful to live properly amongst those who are unbelieving. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, when they see your honorable behavior, they'll give honor to God when He judges the world." There's several scriptures that admonish us to make sure that we're living well amongst our family and our community and those we work with, where we shop, and so on, so on. Why? So that we can point them there again to Christ. Amen. I trust your actions this week has not discouraged someone away from the Lord, but encouraged them to draw closer to Him. Sometimes we mess up, no question about it. Sometimes we sin. But even in those times, God can help us to right the wrong. And then finally today, we're almost done. Will you give me another 30 minutes? Just seeing if you're awake. God even speaks through nature. Isn't that interesting? Look at what the Bible says. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the works of His hands. Day after day they pour out speech. Night after night they communicate knowledge. There's no speech or no words. Their voice is not heard, and yet their message is gone out to the whole world and to the ends of the earth. I've found in Scripture several places it talks about this, as well as in life, that God speaks to us through nature in the context of two things. One is to reaffirm our faith, and number two is to draw people to faith in God. I found after my dad passed that I look up at the sky a little different now than I used to. When I go down and I visit his grave, I can just sit in my truck and I can look at that stone. And in my purview of vision, I can see the beautiful expanse of God's creation. And what does that do? In that moment, that reaffirms my faith. How? This overwhelming thought comes through my mind. If God can do that, He can keep me. Amen. Speaks to me and reaffirms my faith. For those who don't believe, when they look at all of creation, it does this. It calls to the very depths of their being, drawing them to the fact that there is a Creator and you have a purpose. I know sometimes we can get professional at kind of pushing those things aside, and we're going to talk about that in the next few weeks. But it doesn't change the fact that it calls, it draws, that yes, there is a Creator. And there's got to be more than just this. And it sets them on a path to find Jesus. Paul addresses this in Romans 1:20. This is what he says. Check this out. Ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything that God made, they could clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God loves us so much that He not only gave His Son to die for us, but He sent the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Word. He gave us family and a church that we can speak in and that we can encourage one another. He gave us so many ways, dreams and visions and all. I mean, there's just so many ways God wants to speak to you and to me. Why? Because He loves you. So this coming week, I would encourage you, as you're just going about the day to day, would you let this be your prayer? Lord, speak to me and help me hear you and help me follow you. You know what will happen? He'll keep you on track. You won't miss an opportunity to be a blessing. You won't miss an opportunity to grow. You won't miss an opportunity to be a light to someone this week. Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.